This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 311, recorded Monday, August 15th, 2005. 4, 2, and 1. Exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Hello!
And a happy Ladies' Day to you, Jerry.
Alrighty then.
Otherwise known as today.
Today? Yes. Cool.
It is also Mother's Day in Costa Rica and Antwerp. And of course, Korean Independence Day, Indian Independence Day, and Congo Independence Day.
Go Congo!
And of course, it is VJ Day. Anyway, how was your week, Jerry?
I had a week.
Why'd you have a week?
Well, you know what? It happens every 7 days, like clockwork.
No, I thought maybe you wouldn't know with that expression about it, that you might have had some sort of hard week or something you wanted to share.
No, Saturday was, last week I'm having to, as far as work goes, I'm having to do stuff that I don't particularly enjoy, although it's necessary. So, I mean, it's not bad, but I just really hate the work.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I was a bit sad yesterday.
Why is that?
Well, you know how every so often on a Monday night I go to one of those musical events in Manhattan? I have to either reschedule or come do the podcast later.
Sure. Not really, but okay.
No, you never remember me doing this? Going to a musical event and sending you a message, I'm on my way home?
Once or twice, but I wouldn't call it a regular thing.
Like every quarter. They only happen every 4 months.
Okay, 4 times a year is not something I would remember.
Okay, so. But do you remember me going to a...
Sure.
Okay, so those events were emceed by a guy named Five Schwinkel. He died very sad because I was at one of them in June and he was there and energetic. So that was very sad.
Okay.
Things keep happening. But I did have something I want to talk about that is not on the show notes.
Did your phone blow up?
No, but because of the summer, I've been spending a lot of time driving up and down between here and relatives' home north of here. Some of my family's in town for
the... Okie dokie.
So I've been driven on this for about 30 years now. So I know every possible, but now Google invented some new ones. 2 weeks ago, they sent through a cemetery to save time. So one of the things... I'm going to ignore that, by the way.
It's getting more persistent.
I'm not answering. But anyway...
We should pause the podcast until it goes with...
Oh, should we? Okay. He appears to have given up.
All right. Unpause and carry on. Let's do this.
But basically...
Leroy Jenkins.
I have a problem with Google Maps, and I want to know if anybody has experienced this problem or has any. So I like Google Maps to be on even though I'm going on a route that I know, so it can tell me about traffic ahead and just diversions.
Yes, absolutely.
But it doesn't do that. It tells me the way that it thinks it wants to go, even if it's crazy, and reroutes me if that changes. So I want to know, how do I say to Google, this is the way I want to go? If there's an accident on this route, tell me and offer a suggestion and allow me to accept it. But this is the way I want to go. I do not want to go over the George Washington Bridge. I do not want to go through Manhattan. I do not want to drive around on 5 different side streets only to save 2 minutes. Shouldn't there be a setting there? I would rather spend 2 minutes extra on the highway than 5 minutes noodling around on side streets in the Bronx. Have you ever been on a street in the Bronx in the middle of the night?
No.
Not all of them are nice. The last time I got diverted through the Bronx, I ended up on a street where somebody was being evicted. It was 11:30 at night, and they were taking all their stuff and piling it out on the curb. So basically, there are some not-so-savory parts of the Bronx, and I do not want to be diverted through. Already, Google has sent me down a one-lane dirt road. I don't want it to send me into a bad neighborhood, and I don't want it to send me somewhere I don't want to go just because it thinks it will save 2 minutes. 2 minutes is not enough for me to divert from my preferred route. You know why? Because it's my preferred route. So I have never been able to figure out how to tell Google Maps the way that I want to go, or to say I don't want to go that way. So I want suggestions on this, because now I have to basically ignore Google's advice and drive the way I want and wait for it to recalculate to know whether or not the route that I'm on is a good one. And not only that, sometimes if I go and continue past where it wants me to get off onto the route that I want to get on, it still tries to take me back to the route that it wants to get me on, even if the new route is better. So how do I solve that problem, John?
I don't know.
But I'm hoping one of our listeners has some thoughts on it.
I could tell you how to do it with the GPS that's in my car, but with Google Maps, not so much.
Well, would you suggest an alternate mapping program for Android?
No.
Are there ones that do it the way that I want it?
Have you tried Waze?
Does Waze do that? I have not tried Waze. I tried Waze a lot. I like the experience of Google Maps. It's a very clean interface. It tells me how long it thinks it needs to take for me. It tells me what time it thinks I'm going to get there. It tells me if it thinks there's a faster route. It just doesn't tell me what I want to know, which is, how much longer is this route than my preferred route? And why are you taking me down all these roads that I don't want to be on? Is that an unfair thing to want?
Apparently.
No, I'm saying I could see people other than me wanting this. If you want to use Google Maps not because you don't know how to get somewhere, because you want to use it to reroute around traffic, then why can't you tell it, this is the way I want to go, even if it's 1 or 2 minutes faster, go some other crazy way. I don't want to go this way because then I have to make this left-hand turn in this dangerous area where there are oncoming traffic. I want to come around this other street where I can make a right turn and much safer. How do I tell Google that I have a preference other than time or money? How do I tell any alternative system? How do I tell Google, I don't like the route you've put me on, show me alternative options? I still can't find that setting, and I've been looking for that one for years. I can find it on Maps online. So if I do Google Maps on my desktop, which I'm doing, and type it in for the same route that I was taking, it tells me, hello here, that if I want to go via the Palisades Parkway, that's going to be 2 hours and 3 minutes. But if I want to go through via Interstate 87, that's going to be 2 hours and 7 minutes.
Have you tried dragging waypoints around and then sending the directions to your phone?
But then I have to prepare in my house.
I don't know. I know that your experience is way different than my experience, because in my experience, when I've been using Google Maps for directions a lot lately, because I've been going a lot of places that I don't usually go. And I know that when I come up to a decision point,
yeah.
Now there's the blue line that says which way it wants me to go. But if I could also go another way, there's like a light gray line that goes off in that direction with how much slower it is. And if I go off in that direction, then it recalculates the route for that direction.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying that Google seems to be designed for people who don't know where they're going. I'm saying I know where I'm going. I want you to tell me whether or not I'm going the best way out of the choices I'm already familiar with, or I'm already comfortable with, or if I should take your advice about going.
Well, I think your problem stems from the fact that you think you're smarter than Google.
Well, let me ask you a question. Does it stem from the fact that I'm smarter than Google, which I'm not suggesting? Google has more data than I do, or Google is not factoring in information. Like, for example, I will not divert onto local roads unless the traffic on the highway is at least 5 minutes longer, minimum. Why? Because I don't want to be on local streets.
Okay, well, you're not. You don't have a way of telling Google, find me my preferred route. What you're asking Google is, find me the quickest and best route from A to B.
But it doesn't have
But you don't want the fastest and best route from A to B. You want the guru route from A to B.
No, I want the best route.
Yeah, Google can't do that.
But I do want the best route. But I want the best route.
You don't want the best route.
I want
You're purposely ignoring the best route.
No, I want the best route based on my criteria, not based on I want Google to give me more data points for me to give them to say what my preferences are. Like, I do not want to go onto local roads. I want to be on a highway, unless the highway is so horrible that I shouldn't be on it. Is that not something that most people would say? Do you want to take?
I would say no, it's not. I mean, heck, you know.
No, I'm saying most people would say they want to be on one type of road or the other.
I'm not in a hurry. I want to get go. I'm here. I want to end up there, and I want the most scenic route because that would be the best route for me. Because I want to see things; they're pretty. I'm agreeing with
you. I'm saying that the criteria of what type of roads you want to drive on is good criteria, is it not? Is it not signal that we could give Google to say, I want you to take the scenic route. I want you to take the route that has the most highway driving. Why can't I say right now? I believe I can say avoid tolls. I can say avoid this. Why can't I say avoid local roads? And why can't I say avoid local roads unless this is true?
You can do that on my car GPS.
But you understand why I'm saying these are features that I would like that I don't have in Google. If I do have them in Google, I can't find them. Therefore, I am saying there are people out there who might be able to give me advice on how to achieve the goal I want, which is get to where I'm going using an app that tells me if things are changed and gives me advice.
Well, good luck.
So if you can't recommend one, Jerry, maybe one of our listeners can. Is that not a good goal? To get advice from them because I'm having trouble finding what I want? Would you rather that I talk about the changes to Knox 2.7 rather than advising a need and saying I'd like it if there was some organization out there that gave me a program that did what it took? Because the route that I've picked out, the best route, except when it's being paved. Anyway, shall we talk about Knox?
Sure, we're only half an hour in.
Are you telling me that that was not a useful rant? It was an Android-themed rant, some of my other rants.
If you enjoyed it, then excellent.
Okay. I'm sorry you didn't. I'm trying to encourage people. I'm hoping so.
Cool. Me too.
With some feedback. And would you like to talk about Knox, or should I?
You go right ahead.
Okay. Basically, Knox is Samsung's mobile security solution. And their new version 2.7 basically includes control flow detection. So basically...
What does that mean?
When a smartphone's software, hardware to do anything, it sends a request to the kernel. So any kernel request could be the most destructive. One of the most problematic and stealthy kernel attacks is called jump-oriented programming. When a hacker tries to interrupt processing to gain elevated access that are normally protected from an application, Knox 2.7 attempts to significantly reduce this type of attack. They've also taken advantage of the Galaxy Note 7's iris scan to provide an entirely different security. So not only do you have the option of a fingerprint reader, you have a iris scan. Also, Secure Folder is a separate encrypted folder that has private apps and sensitive files securely. And the feature comes preloaded on Note 7.
Cool.
It also has more sophisticated phone number access with better recognition. Previously, their contacts apps misinterpreted numbers. Now, with an exchange-compatible dialer form, contact is an extension. The device deciphers it correctly and connects to it properly. It also brings phone book access. If you have a car that has Bluetooth, can request your phone book. It actually allows you to access both for the personal and the workspace without having to. So basically, your car can get mobile numbers from both your work account and your home account. Your car can call anybody.
Nice.
So that's all in the Galaxy Note 7 with new Knox.
Woo! Like Fort Knox, I think.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
That is probably where the word Knox came.
All right. Well, in other news, Google Talkback has a new icon. That's right. Google Talkback, if you don't already know, is an accessibility program to help those who are blind or vision impaired.
Yes.
So the news is they have a new icon.
Google Notice. I just have to ask the practical question. If you have an icon for an app for people who are visually impaired, how will they enjoy the new icon?
I know. That's what I thought.
Nice to know. But I'm just wondering, the target audience doesn't seem to be able to appreciate it. Moving along, Simple Note for Android is now open source. Have you ever used Simple Note, Jerry?
Nope.
Have you ever used a note-taking program for Android?
By and large, no.
What about Google Keep?
By and large, no. I mean, I've tried Google Keep for like grocery lists and stuff, but I'm just not organized enough to use it.
Well, over the weekend, I installed Google Keep for my mother because of what she's moving phones, and she's been using manufacturer-provided memo app that has no export function. And she was commenting that a large percentage of her memos were mission critical.
Okay, that sentence is just hilarious.
What?
Mission critical memos.
Yes. She she put all this important information to her in her memos, but she's using the stock memo app that came with her manufacturer, and that memo app doesn't have an export function. So I wanted to switch her to an app that actually backs up to somewhere where it can be restored to all of her devices, should she ever switch again. So I was showing her Keep. I also showed her Simple Note, both of which sync somewhere.
Cool.
Speaking of syncing. Yes.
We covered a while back that SwiftKey, they turned their syncing stuff off because there was a bug somewhere that might share your stuff with other people, and that was bad. So they turned their sync stuff off. Well, according to the XDA forums, they have
turned it back
resolved
on.
They've turned syncing back on because they fixed the bug. The bug has been fixed.
That would be a good thing.
More bug.
Elsewhere, Google's latest inbox update adds Trello and GitHub integration. I've been enjoying GitHub integration.
Wow. That would explain why I saw a link to go to issue in my email box.
Isn't that nice?
Sure. If you use GitHub.
If you don't use GitHub, then it is neither nice nor not nice. It just is.
Yep. It's a feature you'll never know exist.
If you don't need it, why do you care?
I never knew existed.
Yeah.
Did you know that Google Maps, okay, they updated it so you can tell it Wi-Fi only, which means, we've known for a while that you could download maps and have offline maps, right?
Yeah, that came in a few months ago.
Right. But if you go to an area where you don't have offline maps,
you can still use
it's going
Wi-Fi
to download the maps.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell it Wi-Fi only, and if you go to an area without where you don't have the maps already downloaded, it won't download the maps, and you'll be lost.
Well, I thought it was more, it won't download the maps, and we'll accept that because it's a setting that you have to...
Right.
So it's
Which I suppose you could also turn off, but I think it's nice to be able to tell it, don't use up my data unless I tell you to use up my data.
which is a feature I appreciate on every app.
Oh yeah, especially when you're using Project Fee and you pay for every single megabyte.
Everybody pays for it, except the few people.
Well, no, because if you have a 2 gigabyte plan
Yeah.
and you use 1 gigabyte, then that costs you exactly the same as using a gigabyte and a half, right? Unless you're on Project Fee, in which case you could be on a 10 gigabyte plan, and if you use a gig, it's going to cost you less than if you use a gig and a half.
I'm not this theory.
So, whereas there is no additional cost for the first 2 megabytes on, say, Sprint's 2 gigabyte plan, there is an incremental cost on Project Fee. I mean, it's a small incremental cost, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not expensive, but it's still there. That's all I was saying.
Project
That's it.
fee still, or fi as I prefer, still makes me want to go to another country.
Fee FIFO.
Maybe I'll go to England. I hear that the pound is down. Anyway, Netflix has published a dedicated app for its fast speed test. So this is an app where instead of one of the other popular speed tests, so this is what they use for their own testing. So it's worth giving a shot.
Hey, and I mean, honestly, if anybody knows what the infrastructure of the internet looks like,
Yeah.
it's probably Netflix.
Well, they have a lot of data on passing a lot since they are, as far as I know, they're one of the largest. I'm not sure if they are the
This was a
largest.
long time ago, but I had read that at any given moment, 75% of the bytes flowing across the internet were Netflix.
And to think they didn't take the whole streaming business seriously.
Well, they pivoted.
What was the name? This is going to bother me. What was the name of that business they were about to start? Started with a Q.
QuickFlix? No.
Quixter.
Yeah.
So in 2011, the DVD rental service would be subsidized, Quixter, and the only major changes would be separate ways. Anyway, do you want to take the next one?
Okay, so Google is developing an operating system called Fuchsia. And basically, this is going to be an Internet of Things operating system. So your light bulb will probably run Fuchsia, or that's the idea.
I'm not so sure about that because I was looking at the thing here, and basically, it's going to be embedded things, but not necessarily.
Okay, so like GPS receivers or GPSs, car radios, ATMs, excuse me. And the
Basically,
embedded thing is what made me think light bulb.
yeah, I'm not sure about that because the kernel that's being used is a kernel based on one that powers commercial embedded. So the question is this, this could work on things like cars, for example, ATMs. Internet of Things are little devices that basically do not need a full operating, the most stripped down thing possible. So I'm not
Well,
sure.
it said that it's primarily being a competitor to FreeRTOS and ThreadX. And ThreadX is an IoT operating system,
I'm just saying that
kernel.
since they haven't announced what they intend to use it for, it doesn't say necessarily that they're going to use it for IoT.
Okay.
It looks like they're going to be for embedded system, but it could be IoT or it could be a few steps above IoT, especially if it has support for both ARM 64-bit and they're going to have it out for the Raspberry Pi. So it suggests it could be more.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying that it's limited to IoT, just that IoT is one of its targets. Although you are accurate in that the article does not specifically state Internet of Things. So, and I am inferring that. I am adding my own editorialization to this
Well, I remember
article.
this guy a while back who decided that Android was a good operating system router, which I would have said no, just native Android. So you never know what any of these OSs lightweight application or it could be used for heavy. It looks like it's that they're experimenting with and trying to use it for low weight hardware. It looks like they could run on phones as well. So who knows? Certainly, you know who doesn't know, Jerry?
You and I?
Yeah, we're only so in another bit of Kenny Baker, he was the man behind R2.
Apparently, he was the man inside R2D2.
Behind, inside.
I didn't realize there was an actual person there. I thought it was, animatronics and stuff.
Nope.
So, wow.
You didn't realize there was a tiny individual.
I did not. Doesn't look like there's room for a tiny individual in there.
Well, Baker was just tall and basically roasted inside that thing.
Wow.
Wow, what?
I guess you're waiting on. Okay, so
It's your turn again.
Flash. Yeah, okay. Google Chrome is going to stop serving Flash content by the end of the year by default. Of course, there will be a switch. However, we all know how defaults tend to be what the vast majority of people use. So this could be very close to, if not the end of Flash, which, you know, considering the numerous security concerns in the past, may not be a bad thing.
No, Flash should die. That's what I often say. And I do have one other bit of non-Android news that I discovered yesterday. You know how I Google Hangouts, something you probably know the fact that we're talking on Google Hangouts?
Sure.
Well, I've been a longstanding user of the open source messaging client, and I found out, I must have missed it, available for a few months now, that there is now a Hangouts plugin for Pigeon. So one of my concerns was always that now that Google has, even though they're still sort of supporting it, has replaced XMPP with the open platform Google Talk with their own proprietary Google Hangouts platform, I was worried that someday my copy of Pigeon would no longer work. But now there's a Hangouts protocol plugin for Pigeon. And since it's for libpurple, which is library, and I'm told in the next version for Facebook. So basically, my concern that all of these companies were deprecating their open source support is still a concern. But at least programmers have found a way the same way I used to have by writing compatibility layers that allow me to see the apps.
Have you considered Franz?
What's Franz?
Franz is it's a multi-platform chat container, basically.
How do you spell that?
Franz. The URL is meetfranz.com.
A free messaging app in the former Emperor of Austria?
Yep.
Well, I'll have a look at it.
It supports quite a few platforms.
Pigeon is very stable.
The nice thing about Pigeon is that it gives you the same interface regardless of the platform, whereas what Franz does is Franz acts as a container around the web version of that platform.
Yeah. So I may stick with
which means it stays up to date, and it supports things that are hard to support, like Skype. But it does mean that you have to deal with the smorgasbord of interfaces.
So I'm very happy that Pigeon's getting support for some of those. Also, nicely enough, after years, Jerry, of not being your picture in Pigeon, I now have your profile picture.
Oh, cool.
You know that picture of you looking pensive?
I don't even know what looking like a pencil is.
Pensive.
Sure, pensive, like a pencil, right?
Pensive. Engaged in, involving, or reflecting deep or serious thought. Synonym. Thoughtful, reflective, contemplative, musing, meditative, introspective, ruminative, absorbed, preoccupied, deep, lost in thought. Pensive.
You know, it occurs to me something that I don't see on the support list of Franz.
Yeah?
Anything IRC.
And I use Pigeon also as my IRC. I actually have several. Right. But
that could be a problem for you.
Well, I'm going to look into Franz, but I'm very happy with
it. Cool.
I'm much happier now that I found out this.
I use it for things like I have different accounts for Google Hangouts up. I have HipChat, which is a work thing. I've got Telegram in it. I've got WhatsApp. So, you know,
you have Telegram family. In what? You have Telegram in France?
Yes.
Okay. Because I remember seeing something about Telegram in Pigeon. I don't use Telegram, but here we are. Telegram-Purple. Add Telegram support to Pigeon, ADM Finch, and other libpurple-based messenger by just installing here. Why should I have Telegram installed?
It's just another chat messaging platform.
Who do I talk to?
Different communities use it.
Okay, well, if I ever find somebody who uses it, I'll...
Sure.
But I wanted to mention that since it's something I...
Cool.
Anyway, shall we adjourn for the night? I'm going to go have dinner. I shouldn't have dinner.
Well, there you go.
Work is hard. I know you know a hard week.
It happens. Yeah. It's okay. I still love my job.
I didn't say anything. I said I'd hard work.
I didn't say anything about you. All I did was say, all I mentioned was me. I made no comment about your loving or lack of loving of your job.
I did not.
All I made a comment on was my job. Not everything I say has to be about you.
I didn't say it was. I just didn't want you to think by comparison. I was suggesting I was less than happy.
It's not a contest.
I wasn't trying to compete with you. I just didn't want you to get an impression.
I am impression. Oh, wow.
Wow, what?
If you go to Rocket Chat, rocket.chat, their background of the page is constellations and stuff.
Yeah.
They move around to avoid the cursor.
That's cute. So this is not this currently, is this actually working? Or is this vaporware?
It's actually working. I just don't know anybody that uses it.
Southeastern Louisiana University, according to the... Anyway, I'll stick...
Sure, if you're happy.
Sure.
Pigeon is not really... well, last time I looked at Pigeon, it wasn't quite so well for Windows.
Which is possible, you know. Projects like that ebb and flow. They're basically very stable.
Yep.
So I don't know when the last time you looked, but, you know, Pigeon hasn't changed in a while. It works exactly the way it's supposed to. And, you know, if you look, actually look at the changelog, you know, there haven't been any changes. For example, the last version was made June, and most of the improvements were under the hood. So I don't think they're doing a major overhaul of the interface.
The way I kind of see it is Pigeon is really good for platforms that use standard messaging protocols. And most of the messaging platforms that I use are not standard. They use their own proprietary stuff.
Well, that's basically what they've been plugging, teaching Pigeon how to understand non-standard protocol.
Alrighty.
So it told me that I started a call with you, even calls. So it knows that I've started.
Cool.
Anyway, shall we adjourn?
Let's adjourn.
Good night.
Good night.